never daunted. We cannot falter in the battle we've tried and true.
Welcome, everybody, to the Indiana Basketball Weekly Show on the Grilly True Sports Network. I am your co-host, Mike Goodpaster, along with Steve Risley, Brian Moore. And remember to follow us on Twitter, at Grilling Truth. Like, subscribe, hit the bell notification on YouTube. Make sure you check out BetMGM for all your betting on basketball needs. Right now, I want to welcome in my co-host. First up, 1981 national champion, Steve Risley. How you doing, Steve?
Doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
All right. And of course, we've got, well, he was alive in 1981, Brian Moore. How you doing, Brian?
I'm great. I'm hungry and I'm having a Big Mac attack.
Okay. All right. So I guess you're talking about the Indiana Hoosiers. I mean, this is huge, guys. And today, five-star forward McKenzie Mbaku committed to Indiana's men's basketball Friday, adding one more player to the Hoosiers recruiting class of 2023. Mbaku is a former Duke University recruit who decommitted about a little over a month ago. He was a number 10 recruit in this class of 2023 by, I think it was 24/7 Sports. I read that on. And Mbaku's decision came down to Indiana and the University of Kentucky. Mbaku is 6'8", 210 pounds, will likely slide into that role that Miller Kopp filled last year as a three-point shooting forward. And, I mean, he plays the wing position. He can shoot the ball. And Mbaku right now joins Gabe Cupps and Ja'Kai Newton in Indiana's 2023 freshman class. And the Hoosiers already have added Ware, who was one, I think at one point he was considered a number one guy in the transfer portal. Peyton Sparks from Ball State. Anthony Walker, who just played in the Final Four for Miami. So Mbaku is a huge get for Coach Woodson, Steve.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, on many facets. First off, you get a player of that caliber. I think he's the in the ratings era of all these blue chip ratings. He's the second highest player ever to come, second highest ranked player ever to come behind who was the kid from down south.
Oh shit! Don't say his name.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
His girlfriend was Juliet, right?
Was it
Romeo? You went Romeo? Romeo. All right, come on, Romeo Steve. Langford. Catch on.
I've been a little bit out of the basketball mindset here for a little bit. Colts are getting ready to lose. So I've been worried about that. But I think on such a big front, I mean, first off, his talent level, his skill. Obviously, he's a player that Duke had interest in. He's a kid who's definitely, you know, got skill sets and talents. And the big thing I think he does is he elevates Indiana's program to a higher degree in terms of continuing this flow of starting to bring blue chippers back into the Hoosier program. You know, they maybe not had another blue chipper since Isaiah and myself back in 1981. It's a great gift. I'm sure we're going to talk about it here for the next 15 minutes, but there is nothing faulty about this for the program. Now, like our boy Romeo Langford, you know, who probably didn't quite live up to all the hype, we got to hope this kid does. But I think he's already elevated the program, and he's predicting a championship in 2024, which in the stuff I've read already, I don't know if I'd go to that stretch, but great get for Indiana. And Mike's doing a fabulous job of replacing the talent that he lost with potentially equally as good a talent.
I think that this is better talent. I mean, there's no Trace Jackson Davis here, but I mean, this right. is the kid, Brian, that we've all wanted. He's a big dude. He could shoot the three. He could take the ball to the hole. He is a huge upgrade off of Miller Kopp. I love Miller Kopp, but Miller Kopp was not 6'8 and could, you know, play like this. I mean, this is not a guy that's going to turn down threes when he's open. So, Brian, what's your takeaway here?
Oh, I think, you know, the big plus for that he brings to us is it's going to be a change back to what Mike liked in the pros, which is you've got a wing now that can shoot from outside. And as much we all love Trace Jackson Davis, but you know, the last 2 years we were basically pushing it into, you know, into the post and letting
we played through the post.
Yeah, played through the post. But now you've got a guy, if everything fits the way we see, I mean, this kid is not afraid to shoot, like you said. And now your wing is opened up with a guy that's not, you know, I mean, at 6'8", 6'9", I've heard he's 6'9 now. But you're not, you know, this is a guy that can shoot from the outside. He's going to open up the hole. It's going to make it easier for Ware as he adjusts to the Indiana program. I mean, there's just so many pluses to this get. It's just going to make everything change from what we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, and really, Steve, when I look at this, M'Baku is the guy that changes everything, because really with Ware, there's a little bit of worry because he was inconsistent last year. He didn't play. He played less as the season went on, but he was highly recruited. He's a really talented guy. With Peyton Sparks, he played at Ball State, so everybody will question that, even though he's a guy that really wants to be at IU. You throw in Malik Renaud, CJ Gunn, Caleb Banks. I mean, this team, to me, 10 or 12 deep, is loaded with guys that, I mean, for the most part, at least half of them, if not more, can shoot the ball.
Yeah, Mike, you're right on. And what I think the really cool part about this and getting M'Baku is I love what Mike is doing to the transformation of the Indiana basketball program from the days of the 76 team, the 81 team, 87 team, which were all really basically more physical, slow, kind of in-your-face, you know, players, to he's modernizing this program in a way that, you know, I don't know that Indiana's ever had a potential seven-foot shooter like Ware before, and now you've got M'Baku, who is going to be kind of maybe a little bit more of a Magic-type player at 6'8". Bringing in some skills. I mean, this kid, this Walker kid coming in from Miami, I read up on him. I like what he brings. He brings experience, and you know, he just came off a Final Four, including a drumming of Indiana on their way to the Final Four. So Mike has done a fabulous job of retoning this program. And we're now able to get kids like M'Baku into the program because I think we all thought Indiana and Kansas, you know, and we thought, we're going to lose this one to Kansas because Kansas still, you know, is Kansas and we're Indiana and they've got a national championship, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years and we don't have one in the last 30 years or plus. And, but, I love what Mike is doing because he's getting these kids in here. Getting them cohesive is his challenge now, which I think he can do. And this is a good thing. I mean, there is so much upscale, as Brian said, about this happening. And it's not just going to happen in the 90 feet of basketball court that they play on. It's all over the place for this program now.
Yeah, and the thing is, if he comes in and everybody can say, well, maybe he'll – if he's a one and done, though, and this is a Final Four team and he gets drafted highly, I mean, let's face it. Right now, we live in a world, Steve and Brian, where every year you're going to have to retool your team just because of the transfer portal. This is not like the old days where you're going to go and grab five guys off the farm and they're going to come play for 4 years and at the end maybe win a national championship.
Right.
This is to the point where every year,
yeah.
I mean, hell, the transfer portal may be more important than what you're recruiting in high school right now, Steve.
Yeah, let me make a quick comment, and then, Brian, you interject on this, but I have this little feeling that come three-quarters of the way through this next season, there's going to be a couple guys named Tamar Bates and Jordan Geronimo that may – I wish they hadn't left this program. Brian, what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, I 100% agree with Steve. I mean, you know, whatever the reasons were that they left, this is going to be a totally different team. It's an exciting team, and both of those guys could have fit in. Maybe not as starters, obviously, but they could have played pivotal roles for this team as backups, and I think they'll regret it. I agree.
I don't think so. I don't think either one of those guys could have played on this team. Not when you get Cups and Ja'Kai in here at the guards with Xavier coming back. I mean, you still got Galloway. The guys you just added, Tamar Bates is a good player. Jordan Geronimo is a turnover machine. I mean, and the thing is this, we don't know what happened there. This may have been something where maybe this wasn't their choice, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think with Geronimo, that may have been the case. Everything I read with Bates is, doesn't he have a kid back in the Midwest?
In Kansas, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So that puts him much closer to his baby. So in the end, they're both probably going to start where they go.
But don't you think it's, Steve, I mean, you know, this, with this day and age of the portal and everything, but you still want kind of a mix, don't you? You want, you know, you can grab guys from the portal, but you still want those guys who play for 3 or 4 years, like we're hoping Gabe Cups might be that guy. You know, you kind of, you want to have that mix of that, don't you?
Yeah, well, you got that in Galloway. I got to figure Galloway is going to be a four-year player at Indiana and probably go on to coaching, really more realistic than he's going to be an NBA player. He may play some in Europe. I don't know. But, you know, I look at Bates and Geronimo, then I look at myself and say my senior year, I averaged maybe 14 to 16 minutes, 17 minutes a game when I played and things. And to this day, I still have a ring, and I still use that ring as a key for opportunity. And I think that's what Geronimo and Bates will lose out of that, is that I think this is a basketball team now that has gotten itself back to relevance. And if you're relevant, then that means you got a chance to win a national championship.
Well, I think so, this, Steve. Okay? I don't think we're back to relevance yet, but I think the pieces are there, because you still got to make it work come March, or you're just right, Purdue. Well,
yeah.
Nobody wants to beat Purdue.
But don't you think we've got, I mean, you mentioned Peyton Sparks, and I agree 100% with Riz. I watched, listened to a radio show with this Anthony Walker from Miami. Uh-huh. And these kids are out of play. They got high energy. They want to win. They want to play here at Indiana. Isn't that what we want? We want guys who want to come in, perform at a high level,
right,
and play for the university. And I think we've got that in Sparks and Anthony Walker, and they're probably going to be bench guys. They're going to be coming in, taking over for Ware and Mbako. Hopefully I pronounced that right.
You better, because he did. You told us how to pronounce it. So.
Yeah, Brian, you know, the thing is that, like I said, I still get my free Adidas stuff from Indiana. So those guys, a lot of them go,
I'm not going to pay for this shit. What is
this? I don't even have any of this shit.
Well, I still occasionally get a care package sent to me when I get on these things to, you know, to put these things on. And you know, I don't get paid portal money. But, you know, I'll get an occasional sweatsuit or something like that.
He gets paid porta potty money.
We have porta potties out here in California now, too.
That's where those people live.
I know. This is going to be a strong basketball program potentially. It's got a little, like Mike said, I said relevance. I think they're relevant. Are they successful yet? No, but they certainly have the tools to be successful. And I think Mike is a great coach for getting us there and getting it going now that he's got the talent. I mean, you know, we said, when Mike came here, we thought it would take 3 to 4 years, Brian, for him to establish his own criteria of what he wanted to see in IU basketball. And I think you're going to see a rabid assembly all. I think you're going to see a lot of hype for this team. I think you're going to see, like Mike said, the play is going to elevate entirely. And this is going to become a program once again, real quickly, that it's not marked on this calendar circled like that's a good chance for a win. This is like we don't lose our rankings when we come and get our drum by Indiana now.
Hey, imagine this. Kansas and Hunter Dickinson coming to Assembly Hall to play Indiana.
On my birthday, December 16th. Going to the game,
Brian, we'll see if we can get you tickets for that if you want to go.
No, we won't. You told me you couldn't get tickets anymore. I've still never been.
I lied, Mike.
Well, Brian, you'll just have to pick me up on your way up.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
All right. Doesn't it say a lot, though? I mean, I think Steve's right. You know, in this age of NIL and all the money that supposedly Hunter Dickinson got to go to Kansas.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he got it, Brian.
Yeah. Don't you think a lot of money was thrown at Mbacco?
Oh, sure it was. Yeah,
it was probably thrown from Indiana's point of view. Well, too. I'm guessing there's probably not a big difference.
I saw a list not long ago, and I we'll save this for a different show down the road. But we had two players in the top 10 in potential nil earnings last year.
Yeah,
Trace Jackson-Davis and Trey Galloway.
Trey or Miller?
Huh?
I can't remember. Was it Trey or Miller?
It said Trey Galloway at number 7.
Okay, then it was Trey.
And that's not one I would have expected.
No.
Although when I saw that, looked at it, I said, you know what? Now that I really think about it, it doesn't surprise me because Trey Galloway is that kind of player. I mean, we're kind of not even really mentioned him and what he's going to do to this program and how this is going to elevate his
game. So if he's that high in money, Steve, does that mean the Indiana Hoosiers are like the New York Yankees now?
More like the Dodgers. We win. So
the Dodgers win?
Oh, yeah. I think we swept the Reds. I think we've lost to the Reds in 4 or 5 years.
I don't think you can base a successful season off of sweeping the Reds.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But
hey, but I can tell you this right now. I do know that the Cubs are like 2.5 games out of first, and the Reds are only 4.5 out. How are the Dodgers?
Dodgers are leading the West. They're up now. They're like 23-15 or something like that. And last four series they've had, they've won all four series.
All right. So I mean, when's the Florida Gulf Coast game, Brad?
It's the first game of the season in November. I don't remember the exact date, but
we need to get to November because by then the Bengals will be undefeated. The Colts won't have a win, and IU will be ready to win a national championship. I really believe this. I'm interested to see what the way too early, because you see them every once in a while. One of these sites will put out a way too early top 25 for next year's college basketball season.
I think Indiana.
IU wasn't sniffing a top 40.
Maybe top 10.
I would like to see what kind of difference this makes, because to me, with the roster they have, this is a top 10 team, at least.
Yeah. Well, look at all the acquisitions they made. Getting Walker, getting the kid from Oregon, now getting Mbacco. I mean, you know, Trey Galloway coming back, shedding some baggage off the team. What's Johnson going to bring back to this program? Where is he going to fit in now? I mean, the key here is really, Mike or Brian, is getting these guys to play together quickly.
Yeah.
Because like Mike said, you're on a 2-year window with these guys now. You're not on a 1976 or 81.
Actually, you're year to year. If you piss them off, they may leave
in a year. Yeah. I mean, look at Schifino. You know.
Yeah, but that's to go to the NBA.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah.
You can't really blame him for that.
But, I think the key now is to get these guys in summer workouts, get them together, get them liking each other, keeping Johnson out of trouble. And I've said this in – as a player, the biggest jump any athlete makes in basketball is the jump from high school to college. That jump from high school to college is that you go from playing another All-American about once or twice a season, if you're lucky,
to playing all-American.
And everybody on your team is somebody's All-American.
I think the jump is about the same from high school to college and college to pro. I think it's a huge jump with both, because the same thing. I mean, when you get to the NBA, those were the best guys on the college teams.
Yeah.
And I think with these guys, they're very athletic. And I think the sleepers here, and if these two guys, Banks and Renaud, have big years,
I think they're big. Yeah.
This team is going to be real hard to handle. And with Ware underneath, and you got the you got a 6'8", 6'9", wing guy now that can shoot the three. Well,
Mike,
if Xavier Johnson plays within himself.
Mike, let me throw one word at you and address it. Depth.
Yeah, they've got it. And, I mean, the thing is this. In the end, most teams that win run seven or eight deep. But to me, especially when you're in the Big Ten season where you're playing every 2 or 3 days, I mean, even if those bottom 4 or 5 guys could just give you 3 or 4 minutes each, I mean, that makes a huge difference. And I think this team is set up nicely to have the best year we've had since what, Brian, 2016?
Yeah, definitely.
Was that the Sweet 16 year?
The Sweet 16 year, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that I think, you know, there's no question we're set in the front court. I think everybody agrees with that. I mean, the players we got coming in, the question is, and Steve kind of brought it up, you know, if X has – the senior leadership like we hope he does and leads this team, it's really more the back, you know, it's the more the backcourt. Who's going to be the number two?
Galloway?
I don't know.
No.
I think this.
I think Galloway can go to the bench.
My opinion is this. My opinion is Gabe Cupps should start, but no. I know you don't like that. But I like freshman starters. If they're good, let them play. Because to me, the big thing that I've heard on this, the only negative thing I've heard in this entire thing, Steve said it, and Steve's not wrong, so I'm not ripping on Steve. It was if Xavier can stay out of trouble. Right. And, I mean, to me, Gabe Cupps is a guy going to be here for 4 years probably. And I think this, I think Ja'Kai's being underrated too.
Yeah.
And even though he's 6'8", I mean, you could have a point guard with – basically three forwards and Ware on the court, correct? I know you like that idea, Brian.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to complain about that at all. I mean,
this is the thing, though. They can do a lot of different things here with the guys that they have now. He has a lot of movable pieces, a lot of interchangeable parts, where you could come out and you can play with three guards, two guys at the front court, or, I mean, you could do whatever you want here.
Well, even Ware is not your – he's not your traditional center. I mean,
I know that's what I mean. They're athletic as hell. I mean, Ware is probably more athletic than Trace, right?
Yeah. Oh, without question.
I mean, Trace was a much better basketball player, but what's
the... I don't know. Well, yeah, he was a much more productive basketball player.
Oh, yeah, he's a better basketball
player. I think Trace still has a lot of flaws he's got to fix before he's going to make any impact in the NBA.
And a lot of that is he doesn't shoot the ball well, right. And he's not he's not fast. He's quick in the low post, he's not fast.
Two comments. One is, in terms of this basketball team, I live by the theory a rising tide raises all buoys. So you keep bringing this kind of talent in, everybody's going to get better, because I'm going to tell you what, practices are going to get a lot more competitive.
Iron sharpens iron.
Exactly. Same thing. You know, rising tide raises all buoys. Iron sharpens iron. So, and I'm very intrigued by having a 7-foot.
Iron cuts the buoys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just manipulate everything.
I still think though.
It's like playing rock, paper, scissors. Let's look at it this way.
It's not Murphy's Law, because Murphy was an optimist. I'm intrigued by Ware's ability to shoot three pointers at that height. You know, we've seen other teams have 7-footers that can drill routinely, or you have to guard them out on the wing out there.
Dude, I just hope he can shoot a 15-footer.
Yeah.
If he's good from 15 feet, that gives us something we haven't had in a long time.
But if you can push him out that arc, and that just means – that opens up the inside for our speed guys to go penetrate the lane, because the big is going to have to go out with Ware and guard him, because you can't leave him alone. I mean, we haven't had that in Indiana's program for as long as I can remember.
Not since Uwe Blob, Steve.
Uwe Blob. Well, was he, you know, I don't know. Did they have the three-pointer when Uwe played?
No. And it wouldn't have mattered if they did. Uwe wouldn't have been.
And I don't know. Cody Zeller's really the only other 7-footer. Did he? They didn't know if the three was there when he
could shoot a little bit.
He could shoot a little bit, but he was still a post player. He was still in.
I think Ware is probably a post player, but.
Yeah. Mike's made some real good moves here. Getting Mbaku is the cherry on top of the icing on the cake for this program.
I'll tell you, I hope we're saying that name right, because yeah, if it is, it'll be the first time all three of us made it through a whole show and didn't mispronounce somebody's
there
name.
There you go. Okay, let me ask you, Brian, you're the genius on this. We have what now? One spot left?
One.
Right.
Yeah.
What do we do, Brian? Where do we go? Guard play? We have to get a guard.
I see a 6-6, 6-7 combo.
Okay. Got anybody in mind?
Unfortunately,
the kid from Tennessee.
What's that?
I want the kid from Marshall. The kid from Tennessee doesn't shoot the ball as well as the kid from Marshall. I like the kid from Marshall,
but he's a guard. He's a flat guard. That's what, he's not a combo guard.
But don't need a combo guard. Do we want to put all of our faith and stock in Xavier? Do we want to have a true backup for Xavier? Because Xavier's
have a true backup because, I mean, you got Gabe Cupps. I also think it's possible this, Brian. If Gabe Cupps is that good, you could play him and Xavier at the same time.
Yeah, but I kind of disagree. I think he's going to ease Cupps in.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
Well, that's way.
I mean, if the dude is a stud, you let him play. Isaiah Thomas didn't start off on the bench.
No, but there's not too many. And I'm Isaiah not saying Thomas it's Isaiah
Thomas. Neither did Bobby Hurley.
But I still think my argument with you is I think Jakai Newton starts before Gabe Cupps at the two.
Well, because he plays a different position. I think they're both really good. I think with Jakai Newton, the only question you got is did strength of the knee. But I mean, that should be well over a year since he'd had anything happen to it. So I would think he would be fine too. The problem is this. Right now, we're arguing about who we think should play.
Right.
But if there was no transfer portal, we would be arguing about whether we could win 5 games.
True.
So the transfer portal, to me right now, seems like a good thing. Next year, we may hate the thing because we may lose everybody because of it. But
I'm okay with the transfer portal in general because when players leave a program, rarely do they go somewhere and accelerate. Or, you know, the guys that left here, Geronimo and Bay, is it Bates, the other guy? Yeah. They're not going to end up at a program with the prestige and the validation that Indiana's going
to
have.
Where did Bates and Geronimo go, Brian?
Geronimo went to Maryland.
That's a pretty good program.
Yeah. And Bates went to Missouri.
Missouri, pretty good program. I don't think Missouri's Indiana.
But I don't think either program is Indiana.
Well, I could make the case for Maryland just because they more recently won a national championship.
Yeah, and I'm getting softer on the NIL program too. It is what it is. I think the players should be paid for services rendered because the money involved. I would have liked to see maybe a little more regulation, a little more salary cap tied to it, so we aren't.
Yeah, but you can't do that because the NCAA didn't want anything.
The NCAA just said either nothing or we're out of it.
How about this? I am fine with the no money. I don't care. I hope all these guys make millions of dollars. My issue is the transfer portal and what we just talked about. How almost every year you're changing everything. I don't have a problem if a kid comes and he transfers once. But after that, after you've transferred once, you should have to sit out for a year if you do transfer, unless your coach leaves.
I agree with that.
I agree with that 100%, Mike.
Because I think this is getting kind of ridiculous where we've got guys that have been to 3 different schools now to play. Yeah. And I mean, that just teaches everybody that if shit ain't going right, just take your ball and go home and try to find someplace else. The other issue you get is that a lot of these guys won't even get scholarships anywhere now. The guys that are left over. I think the percentage I saw last year was like 55% that actually got scholarships, and there was like 30% that were left out.
Yeah.
Look at this. Wait a second. Look at this. Joe Spellman, my good pastor is soft. All right. I don't have any fat on me, and Joe's a Pillsbury doughboy. So thanks for your comment. Thanks for your comment, Tubby. Little pale ass bitch. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I just, I mean, the Hunter Dickinson thing just really kind of, caught me. I mean, I'm sorry, but do you really think that guy is worth $4 million over 2 years to play college basketball?
I would say this: if he stays, I think he's a hell of a player, and I think being coached by Bill Self probably helps him more than being coached by Juwan Howard. Because let's face it, Juwan Howard can't coach anything. I wouldn't let Juwan Howard coach my dogs to go outside. Because they're probably not coming back. And if you look at it, half his team left.
I mean, it's just a case of it. I think I kind of agree with Steve. There's got to be a check and balance to this. I mean, I'm not going to talk about Mbako, what he got offered. Nobody's mentioned it yet, but do we really want it to become a money game? It's just going to be like the pros. The NCAA.
No, it won't, because they still play defense, though, in college. And it's not like the pros because, you know, like I said, when I wrote the article about the top paid athletes at each sport, I mean, hell, you've got gymnasts, you've got girls softball players, women's basketball, all making money.
Yeah, I think the top player paid money this year was a female gymnast, wasn't it?
Yeah, Livy Dunn, yeah. But that's just because
she got more meal money than anybody, bacon. Period.
And she's hot, right?
All you got to do is – she's not hot. She's hot for a female athlete. I know, she looks like a 12-year-old girl.
I know the two twins from Miami are – they quit basketball. They're making so much money.
Well, no, they didn't quit because they're making so much money. They were going to quit.
Oh, they came back?
And then they
back?
Got the meal money. And I think they're still playing, aren't they, Brian?
I don't know.
I thought they said they retired because they now I mean, influencers
and are making so they much money. Angel Reese, they ask Angel Reese why her and Caitlin Clark don't go to the WNBA sooner, and they said because we make more money in college. But I mean, Angel Reese is making $1.1 million.
Is this going to kill the G League?
There's still a G League?
Yeah.
How can you kill something nobody cares about? I mean, seriously, nobody watches the G League. They probably get the same ratings as the WNBA. I would rather go watch David Magley's group. What was his league's name?
TBL, the basketball league.
Yeah, the basketball
and
league.
Now
I mean, who cares if it kills
the G League? He's changed the name to the Basketball Super League or something because they've incorporated some Canadian league into it, you know, too.
Yeah, I think now they've got like 10,000 teams.
Yeah, they do have a
Brian. They're going to be calling you. You were drafted in the fourth round by the Portsmouth Pirates.
Oh boy,
I think I read where the Pacers G League team is moving out of Fort Wayne, and they're bringing them down to Noblesville, and they're actually going to play out of Noblesville now, as I understand.
Yeah.
So, but well,
the point is this, Brian. If they're making more money than the G League, that's a good thing. We want everybody to get paid. The NCAA is making billions of dollars.
That was the story.
Do we get to a point of super teams? Okay. I mean, if Kansas can throw out millions and we can throw out millions, isn't that going to kill college basketball?
Obviously not, because San Diego State was in the Final Four. And right now, the only thing it's done is it's evened it out because all these teams are coming up with no money.
I agree with Mike. Alumni have deep pockets, and they don't always end up at Alabama, Indiana, UCLA, or Kansas. I mean, there's deep pockets of alumni at San Diego State and Florida Atlantic. And it's becoming about the deep pockets.
Well, I'd rather spend money on a player than trying to get rid of a coach.
Talking about Indiana football?
No, go ahead, Steve.
I saw where Indiana's going to play Harvard this year in Indianapolis.
Yes.
There's nobody with deeper pockets than Harvard, trust me. If they decide they want to take their basketball program seriously, there's a lot
I think
of...
they do take it seriously. And I think this, if you remember, Princeton was in the Sweet 16 this year. Indiana wasn't. Princeton won two games, went to the Sweet 16. How to kill the conversation? It's just true. I mean, they're good teams. Everybody rips on them, but hold on here. We got Robert.
Oh, there's Robert.
Yes, did you hear about the ABA championship coming back to Indy? What?
ABA?
I know you can get an ABA basketball again. I saw those for sale.
Is that the American Bowling Association?
That's good, man. That's all before NASCAR every Sunday. I never missed the PBA, Professional Bowling.
I used to watch it. What was it? Chris Schenkel and him used to do it in the early 80s.
Hey,
that was good shit.
The Bowling Hall of Fame is in North Manchester, Indiana.
Well, I'm headed there tomorrow. Then.
Lake Wawasee.
Lake Wawa what?
Lake Wawasee. It's the largest.
Robert, what? We're on a show. How are we going to look it up? Why can't you just tell us what the hell it is?
Lake Wawasee is the largest natural lake in Indiana.
There hasn't been an ABA.
I've heard of it.
What?
American 1976 was the last. Yeah, the ABA's last championship was 1976 when the Nets beat the Nuggets in six games. Dr. J against David Thompson.
Are you looking this shit up online again on me?
I am not. I can tell you whatever you want. You
right, he knows I know that stuff. I mean,
you know, I know.
He can't tell you who won last night.
Hey,
but
do you know
50
who?
Years
no, I
ago,
can't.
He can tell you. Yeah, anybody.
Years, I'm on that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you this. Do you know who showed the ABA finals back in 75?
If we're
76.
No.
It was HBO.
Was it HBO?
Really? Yeah. I did not know.
You could actually go on YouTube and pull the game up. What are the Indiana Lions?
I have no clue. We're getting way off.
Okay, now, Robert.
I thought this was an IU show talking about. Yeah.
Well, it is Indiana. I just got to figure out what an Indiana Lion is.
Well, how about this? Does Mike Woodson get the official title as the closer now? It's the third year.
Not until we win a national championship.
The third year in a row, he's pulled a top player who decommitted. He did it his first year with Bates, excuse me. Don't confuse it. Did it last year with Renew, and now Mbako this year.
Yeah, I think what Mike had brings to the table is an understanding of the modern game and very good ties to the NBA. And I think Mike has a great understanding of the game today because he spent 14 years, you know, as a player, and then a coach in the NBA, including a head coaching stints here and there.
Right.
So he understands the NBA game well. And I think that's a big add-on to a lot of these guys that want to come in.
Wait a second. Guys, you got to hear this. All right. I hate to, like, what would be the nice word? Defecate on Robert's Indiana Lions. But I'm looking at the roster for the Indiana Lions. And one of them has the college they played basketball at is Ivy Tech.
Ivy Tech?
They have a court?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe they do. But I don't know.
My God, that may be the only gym in Indiana I never played at then.
They're guys from like Anderson University, Earlham University, or Earlham College, whatever you call it.
But, Franklin.
All right, Robert, we'll do this. If you come pick me, Steve, and Brian up, we'll ride with you to a game.
And I'm in LA. I'm in California. I'm in Indiana.
I don't think I have Brian's enough rum to go with me.
I bet you do.
I'm holding out for one of those. I'm holding out for one of those homeless buses to come back to Indianapolis, and I may just hop on that.
You ought to get the hell away from California.
Oh, no kidding, it's bad. But let's don't go on that tangent right now.
All right, guys, let's go ahead. We're gonna wrap it up. Make sure you check out all of our shows. Make sure you check out BetMGM for anything you're going to bet when it comes to sports. Like, subscribe, hit the bell notification on YouTube. Follow us at Grueling Truth on Twitter. Make sure you go to Brian Moore's Got Woodson Facebook page. Great page where everybody conversates about Indiana basketball, and usually they argue with Brian because Brian has a tendency to really have some bad ideas about things in basketball.
Thanks for that promotion there, buddy.
I'm kidding. But he's good with IU basketball. It's just when you start talking about, like, the Bears and stuff where he really doesn't know a whole lot.
I mean,
he's
like,
a pretty big hole.
Walter Payton was the best running back of all time.
Sure he was.
Michael Jordan
never existed.
Michael Jordan was the best, like, GOAT of all time.
So this is kind of what I mean by Homer.
Okay, Homer.
Okay, so who's your favorite football team?
Well, professional or college?
Yeah, NFL.
Bears.
Okay. Who's your favorite NBA team?
I don't follow the NBA.
You didn't? Did you in the 90s?
Yes.
Who was your favorite basketball team?
The Bulls.
Homer. Right there. You just picked the two best players of all time in two separate sports. And
wait a minute. I've been a Cubs. I've been a Cubs fan since I was 6 years old.
And you tried to claim that was the greatest World Series ever played.
Game 7. Was the best World Series Game 7 ever played.
Game 7, 1975, Reds and Red Sox. Cubs suck. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead.
Hey, one plug.
Sure.
Came out last night on Amazon. If you have not seen it, watch the movie Air.
Air?
Oh, is it out now? Do you have to pay $20 right now?
No, if you have Amazon Prime, it's free.
I got Prime.
I'm going to watch it right now, then, guys. We got to get off here.
It's an Oscar-worthy movie. Viola Davis will get an Oscar.
Why? Is there a lot of diversity and stuff in it?
Yeah.
Diversity and inclusion.
But Matt Damon plays Sonny Vaccaro, who...
Well, if the movie's any good, it can't win an Oscar, Steve, because they don't put good movies in the Oscars.
I know. That's, I think this will change that.
If they spoke French, they would get an Oscar.
I think that this will change that because it is a very fun movie to watch and very well done. I mean, there's some big hitters in this movie. And I strongly suggest if you have Amazon Prime, it's free. You do not have to pay that. It's, I think that's the only place you can get it right now is Amazon Prime. I don't think it's available on Apple or any of the others yet. So we watched it last night at about 9:30 because it's 12 o'clock. It came on technically Friday was the opening day, but, you know, 12:30, your guys' time is 9:30 my time. And we watched it, and it was very, very, very an interesting deal with Michael Jordan in this movie. And I'm not going to tell you. You'll figure it out once you watch the movie because it'd be a spoiler. But pay attention to Michael Jordan in this movie. And it is a very good movie to watch.
Well, Steve, I can't go watch the movie because you keep talking about it. And I know how you are. Eventually, an hour from now, we'll have seen the whole movie just by listening to you. All right, guys. Make sure you follow us at Grilly Truth on Twitter. Like, subscribe, bell notification on YouTube. Go check out our Facebook group. Check out God Woodson. But for now, for Brian Moore, Steve Risley, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grilling Truth, where the legends speak.